On September 11th, 2001, treasonous, immoral men, blinded by greed and a lust for power, and backed by some of the wealthiest families on the earth, set about together on an evil plan to destroy the United States Republic, reshape its democracy, and to oppress its people. And as a direct result, set the world on a course for a one-world global rule by the ultra-wealthy. The government and the corporate media have hidden much from you that you seriously need to question. Why did President Bush sit in a school classroom when he was told by his chief of staff that the United States was under attack, when he was the commander-in-chief, and yet he did nothing? Why did Vice President Dick Cheney sit in an underground White House bunker and watch for over 80 miles out as an attacking object raced towards the Pentagon without giving orders to have it easily shot down from that distance? And why didn't he order the evacuation of all non-essential personnel from the Pentagon? Instead, 125 innocent people died. Why did Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld abandon his post and his chief duty, defending this country, to run out onto the Pentagon lawn and help with rescue efforts there instead? As America was under attack. Why did they make it illegal to take photographs of the debris at Ground Zero? And why did they also make it illegal to photograph the debris that they sent to the landfill? The answer is really quite simple. Because they didn't want people to find the evidence. Why else would they immediately ship all the recovered steel from the World Trade Center halfway around the world to China, when it's obvious that the U.S. steel capital is right next door, in Pittsburgh? Why did authorities lie about using the emergency command bunker in Building 7 on 9/11? After they used it, and then hastily abandoned it. Where did all the dead bodies come from that were inside Building 7 before any building had fallen on 9/11? Why did Building 7 fall at 5:20 that afternoon when it wasn't hit by an airplane? And what did building leaseholder Larry Silverstein mean when he said that he had Building 7 pulled, even though there were no firemen dispatched to that building? Why did former Mayor Rudy Giuliani lie about saying that he was told the buildings were going to collapse on 9/11? How is it that all the wars we are now currently fighting were all planned before or shortly after 9/11, so many years ago? And how many more people will the super rich carelessly murder to get their long-sought global rule, their new world order? Because as history will show, 9/11 was an inside job, intended to be the catalyst for the bogus war on terror and the final takeover of the United States. If you doubt that, then just listen to the evidence.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge, a new era.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
Third aircraft hijack heading towards Washington.
I think we need to scramble Langley right now.
Are we going to shoot him down if they got passengers on board? Have they talked about that?
Do we want to think about scrambling aircraft?
Oh, God, I don't know.
That's a decision somebody's going to have to make probably in the next 10 minutes.
You know, everybody just left the room.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
That's the scene at this moment at the World Trade Center. Stan Daler from ABC's Good Morning America is down in the general vicinity. Dan, can you tell us what has just happened?
Yes, Peter. It's Don Daler down here. I'm four blocks north of the World Trade Center. The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not there anymore. Completely collapsed.
The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed?
The building has collapsed.
That's the southern tower you're talking
about. Exactly.
The second tower, and that's what you're looking at now. Again, this was not very long ago, 10, 15 minutes ago. The second tower, it almost looks like one of those implosions of buildings that you see.
Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself. Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
What did we do? We made it outside, we made it about a block.
We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was if they had detonated.
Yeah,
detonated.
They were
planning to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down. I was watching it and running.
During the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
From my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual side of the building that's crashed in. And as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around, which would indicate that the entire plane crashed into the side of the Pentagon and then caused the side to collapse. Now, even though if you look at the pictures of the Pentagon, you see that the floors have all collapsed. That didn't happen immediately. It wasn't until almost about 45 minutes later that the structure was weakened enough that all of the floors collapsed.
I am Major General Albert Stubblebine. I don't know exactly what hit it, but I do know from the photographs that I have analyzed and looked at very, very carefully, it was not an airplane. For one thing, if you look at the hole that was made in the Pentagon, the nose penetrated far enough so that there should have been wing marks on the walls of the Pentagon. I have been unable to find those wing marks. So where were they? Did this vessel, vehicle, or whatever it was, have wings? Apparently not, because if it had had wings, they would have made marks on the side of the Pentagon. If the facts don't match, what did happen?
Yeah, we want to take our viewers live to Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Our Brian Cabell is standing by. This, of course, is the site where United Airlines Flight 93 crashed.
It looks like there's nothing there except for a hole in the ground.
Basically, that's right. The only thing you could see from where we were was a big gouge in the earth and some broken trees. We could see some people walking around in the area, but from where we could see, there wasn't much left.
Any large pieces of debris at all?
No, there was nothing that you could distinguish that a plane had crashed there.
Smoke, fire?
Nothing. It was absolutely quiet. It was actually very quiet. Nothing going on down there, no smoke, no fire.
Well, Darren, in the last hour or so, the FBI and the state police here have confirmed that they have cordoned off a second area about 6 to 8 miles away from the crater here where this plane went down. This is apparently another debris site, which raises a number of questions. Why would debris from the plane, and they identified it specifically as being from this plane, why would debris be located 6 miles away? Could it have blown that far away? Seems highly unlikely. So it raises some questions. We don't want to over-speculate, of course.
If nothing else, you can say this is not typical for a plane crash to be spread across an area this large.
It certainly doesn't make sense. It certainly leads to a number of questions.
Standing there watching on TV and the lights flickered in the building. About that time we heard the engines roar. We took off out of the building as we were coming out from the office out through the building. The ground shook and we heard, a big boom. Looked over and saw the big ball fire up in the air. Like I said, probably within 45 seconds or a minute of impact, we were there. We were there before any firemen, any paramedics, or anybody. We were on site. When we got there, there was a plane flying up above. And he was smart. He flew straight for the sun. So you couldn't look at it and see exactly what type of plane or if it was a fighter or what it was. Atlanta was in Yamaha training, and I was sitting there talking. Everybody, of course, asked where you're from. And, of course, now we just say Shanksville, where the plane crashed, and everybody knows where we're at. I was sitting there talking to another guy, and I was telling about, he said, did you see the plane crash or whatever? Was you there or anything? And I told him the whole story. And I was explaining to him about whenever we were standing in the office and the lights flickered and everything, and there was another gentleman sitting in the row in front of me that was retired from the Air Force. And as soon as he heard me say that, he immediately stopped me and he said, tell me this, and I told him, and he says, well, I'm retired from the Air Force. He said, that plane was shot down. And I said, why? And he said, because whenever the lights flickered, they zap the radar frequency on everything before they shoot. And he said, that's why your lights flicker. Your lights didn't flicker from the impact. Your lights flicker because they zapped the radar system before they shot it.
The debris here is spread over a 3 to 4 mile radius, which has now been completely sealed off and is being treated, according to the FBI, as a crime scene.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
There will be no going back to the era before September the 11th, 2001, to false comfort in a dangerous world.
Howard Dean recently seemed to muse aloud whether you had advanced knowledge of 9/11.
Yeah, look, there's time for politics. And, it's time for politics. And it's an absurd insinuation.
I think the people understand I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office in foreign policy matters with war on my mind. And again, I wish it wasn't true, but it is true.
On September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country.
And I came out in what is believed to be the entrance or the place of initial impact. While I was coming out of the Pentagon, I didn't see any evidence of metal, airplane seats, luggage, nothing that would give me any indication that it was a plane that had hit the building. I did not have jet fuel over my body. My son didn't have jet fuel over his body. The people that I helped didn't have jet fuel on their body. There was nothing on the inside that would give me any indication that there was a plane on that particular day that hit the building. Most of the people that were in the area where I was located, and again, I did ask because I, maybe I was off of my judgment, but in speaking with everyone, it was conclusive that no one else in the area where I was located had seen any parts of planes or luggage or baggage or anything of that nature.
Is Osama bin Laden in Tehran?
Your question is laughable.
Why?
The U.S. government has invaded Afghanistan in order to arrest bin Laden. They probably know where bin Laden is. If they don't know where bin Laden is, why did they invade? First, they invaded. Then they tried to find out where he is. Is that logical?
What I think is that you didn't answer my question. Is he in Tehran or not? I'm asking you, you're the president of Iran.
I heard that Osama bin Laden is in Washington, D.C.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. He's there because he was a previous partner of Mr. Bush. They were colleagues, in fact, in the old days. You know that. They worked together. Mr. bin Laden never cooperated with Iran, but he cooperated with Mr. Bush.
Joining us now is Tom Kenny from the Urban Search and Rescue Team, part of FEMA, the Federal Disaster Relief Agency.
We're currently one of the first teams that was deployed to support the city of New York for this disaster. For this disaster. To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site other than the spot of church and day to which we were deployed. To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. We arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th, malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
And we were in a building in which we were trapped for about 10, 15 minutes.
Are you talking about the, did you go immediately to the Office of Emergency Management?
No, I went down to the scene and we set up headquarters at 75 Barclay Street, which was right there with the police commissioner, the fire commissioner, the head of emergency management. And we were operating out of there when we were told that the World Trade Center was going to collapse. And it did collapse before we could actually get out of the building. So we were trapped in the building for 10, 15 minutes and finally found an exit.
You reported to Peter Jennings that on 9/11 the World Trade houses were going to collapse. And who the people in the buildings were notified? And who else knew right. about this? And, yeah. and how do you sleep at night?
Ma'am, I didn't know that the towers were going to collapse.
But you said on ABC video with Peter Jennings in an interview that you were aware that towers were going to collapse in advance. We'd like to know who told you the towers were going to collapse in advance, sir?
Well, the fact is that I didn't realize the towers would collapse. I never realized that.
We were told that the World Trade Center was going to collapse. The World Trade Center was going to collapse. The World Trade Center was going to collapse.
Hi, my name is Barry Jennings. I'm 52 years old. I received a call shortly after the first plane hit. I got there, I had to be inside on the 23rd floor when the second plane hit. Upon arriving into the OEM EOC, we noticed that everybody was gone. I saw coffee that was on the desk. The smoke was still coming off the coffee. I saw half-eaten sandwiches. After I called several individuals, one individual told me that to leave and leave right away. Mr. Hess came running back in and said, we're the only ones up here, we gotta get out of here. He found the stairwell. So we went to the stairwell and we're going down the stairs. When we reached the sixth floor, the landing that we were standing on gave way. There was an explosion and I was left there hanging. I had to climb back up. When I made it to the sixth floor, there was an explosion. The explosion was beneath me. Hess is yelling, what do we do now? I said, there's only one thing we can do, and it's go back up. Both buildings were still standing. Keep in mind, I told you the fire department came and ran. They came twice. Why? Because building Tower 1 fell, then Tower 2 fell. And then when they came back with all concern now, like, to get me the hell out of there. I was trapped in there for several hours. I was trapped in there when both buildings came down. All this time, I'm hearing all type of explosions. All this time, I'm hearing explosions. When they finally got to us, and they took us down, I said, where are we? He said, this was the lobby. And I said, you gotta be kidding me. Total ruins. Now keep in mind, when I came in there, the lobby had nice escalators. It was a huge lobby. And for me to see what I saw was unbelievable. And the firefighter that took us down kept saying, do not look down. And I kept saying, why? He said, do not look down. And we were stepping over people. And you know you can feel when you're stepping over people. This big, giant police officer came to me, and he says, you have to run. I said, I can't run. My knees are swollen. He said, you'll have to get on your knees and crawl in. He said, because we have reports of more explosions. I'm just confused about one thing and one thing only. Why World Trade Center 7 went down in the first place. I'm very confused about that. I know what I heard. I heard explosions. I'm an old boiler guy. If it was a fuel oil tank, it would have been one side of the building.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe this one of the things to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Mr. President, why are you and the Vice President insisting on appearing together before the 9/11 Commission?
Because the 9/11 Commission wants to ask us questions. That's why we're meeting, and I look forward to meeting with them and answering their questions.
Why you're appearing together rather than separately, which was their request?
Because it's a good chance for both of us to answer questions that the 9/11 Commission is looking forward to asking us, and I'm looking forward to answering them. Let's see. I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower. The TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And it said it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack. America's under attack. America's under attack.
Closer look tonight at another example of where, despite the conventional wisdom, there were people in the United States who actually were preparing to defend against the kind of attacks which occurred here on 9/11. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD for short, has been defending the skies over the U.S. and Canada for almost 50 years, 46 to be precise. USA Today reports that in the 2 years before the attacks on September the 11th, NORAD conducted exercises using hijacked airliners as weapons. And one target was the World Trade Center. Here's ABC's Brian Ross.
President Bush has said again and again that no one could have imagined what Osama bin Laden ordered for September 11th.
Nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government could envision flying airplanes into buildings on such a massive scale.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that these people would take an airplane and slam it into the World Trade Center, take another one and slam it into the Pentagon.
But that turns out not to be true. U.S. military planners did envision and practice those very scenarios. As reported by USA Today, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, conducted exercises with fighter jets, simulating hijacked planes flown into the World Trade Center in the 2 years before the attacks. Pentagon planners also envisioned the attack on the Pentagon 5 months before it happened. According to this April 2001 Pentagon email, Air Force officials wanted a war game, having a terrorist group hijack a commercial airline and fly it into the Pentagon. Still to come are questions, big questions, about NORAD's response on the day of the attack. Why, despite all the exercises and the planning, Peter, jet fighters were not in place anywhere near New York or Washington.
Lee and I write in our book that we think the commission in many ways was set up to fail because we had not enough money. We didn't have enough time. We'd been appointed by the most partisan people in Washington.
So there are all kinds of reasons we thought we were set up to fail. We got started late. We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody, that we would point the finger. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody, that we would point the finger.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you gotta come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, "I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, "today." And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Senator Dayton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I also want to commend you for holding this hearing and swift response to the 9/11 Commission's report. It is a profoundly disturbing report because it chronicles in excruciating detail the terrible attack against our homeland, the despicable murder of so many American citizens, and the horrible destruction to countless other lives and liberties throughout this nation. And because of the utter failure to defend them by their federal government, by their leaders and the institutions that were entrusted to do so, and because of serious discrepancies between the facts that you've set forth and what was told to the American people, the members of Congress, and to your own commission by some of those authorities. There's way too much to cover here, but I will begin. According to your report, the first of the 4 airliner hijackings occurred on September 11th at 8:14 a.m. Eastern Time. At 10:03 a.m., almost 2 hours later, an hour and 49 minutes to be exact, the fourth and last plane crashed before reaching its intended target, the U.S. Capitol. During those entire 109 minutes, this country and its citizens were completely undefended. Yes, it was a surprise attack. It was unprecedented. But what I find much more shocking and alarming were the repeated and catastrophic failures of the leaders in charge and the other people responsible to do their jobs, to follow established procedures, to follow direct orders from civilian and military commanders. And then they failed to tell us the truth later. It doesn't matter whether they were Republicans, Democrats, or neither. It matters what they did or did not do. According to your findings, FAA authorities failed to inform the military command, NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, about 3 of the 4 hijackings until after the planes had crashed into their targets at the Second World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the ground in Pennsylvania, which was not their target. The direct FAA notification of the military occurred regarding the first plane, 23 minutes after it was hijacked, and only 9 minutes before it struck the first World Trade Tower. It exploded into its target at 8:46 a.m. The second hijacking began, according to your report, 1 minute later. NORAD wasn't notified until the same minute that the plane struck the second World Trade Tower. It was 5 more minutes before NORAD's mission commander learned about that explosion. It was 5 minutes after thousands of Americans saw it on live television. So at that point, 9:25 a.m., FAA's National Command Center knew that there were two hijacked planes that had crashed into the two World Trade Centers, and a third plane had stopped communicating and disappeared from its primary radar, yet no one at the FAA headquarters asked for military assistance with that plane either. This is just unbelievable negligence. It doesn't matter if we spend $550 billion annually on our national defense, if we reorganize our intelligence, or if we restructure congressional oversight, if people don't pick up a phone to call one another. And this was not an occasional human error or failure. This was nothing but human error and failure to follow established procedures and to use common sense. And unfortunately, the chronicle is not over. NORAD Missioner Commander ordered his only three other planes on alert in Virginia to scramble and fly north to Baltimore. Minutes later, when he was told that a plane was approaching Washington, he learned that the planes were flying east over the Atlantic Ocean, away from Baltimore and Washington. So that when the third plane struck the Pentagon, NORAD's fighters were 150 miles away, farther than they were before they took off. By then, FAA's command center had learned of the fourth hijacking and called FAA headquarters, specifically asking it to contact the military at 9:36 a.m. 3 minutes later, your document records this following conversation, the FAA command center to the headquarters. Command center, do we want to think about scrambling aircraft? FAA headquarters, oh God, I don't know. Command center, that's the decision somebody's gonna have to make probably in the next 10 minutes. FAA headquarters, yeah, you know, everybody just left the room. The fighter planes had reached Washington 7 minutes after that crash, and they were told by the mission commander, negative clearance to shoot the aircraft over the nation's capital. Negative clearance to shoot the aircraft. Yet 1 week after 9/11, in response to initial reports that the military failed to defend our domestic airspace during the hijacks, NORAD issued an official chronology which stated that the FAA notified NORAD of the second hijacking at 8:43. Go on. FAA notified NORAD of the third hijacking at 9:24. Did you report wrong? FAA notified NORAD of the fourth hijacking at an unspecified time, and that prior to the crash in Pennsylvania, Langley F-16 combat air patrol planes were remaining in place to protect Washington, D.C. All untrue. In public testimony before your 9/11 commission in May of 2003, NORAD officials stated, I assume under oath, that at 9:16 they had received the hijack notification of United Flight 93 from the FAA. That hijacking did not occur until 9:28. There was a routine cockpit transmission recovered at 9:27. Yet NORAD's public chronology on 9/18/01 and their commission testimony 20 months later covered up those truths. They lied to the American people, they lied to Congress, and they lied to your 9/11 commission to create a false impression of competence, communication, coordination, and protection of the American people. We can set up all of the oversight possible at great additional cost to the American taxpayers, and it won't be worth an Enron pension if the people responsible lie to us. If they take their records and doctor them into falsehoods, and if they get away with it. NORAD officials and FAA officials been able to hide their critical failures that left this country defenseless during two of the worst hours in our history. And I believe that President Bush must call those responsible for those representations to account. If the commission's accounts are correct, he should fire whoever at FAA, at NORAD, or anywhere else betrayed their public trust by not telling us the truth. And then he should clear up a few discrepancies of his own. 4 months after September 11th, on January 27th, 2002, the Washington Post, Dan Balz, and Bob Woodward authored an insider's retrospective on top administration officials' actions on 9/11 and thereafter. They reported that very shortly after the Pentagon was struck at 9:34, quote, Pentagon officials ordered up the airborne command post used only in national emergencies. They sent up combat air patrol in the Washington area and a fighter escort for Air Force One. Looks very impressive. The president's acting swiftly and decisively, giving orders to the Secretary of Defense and on down the chain of command. Combat Air Patrol planes are patrolling Washington, directed by an airborne command post, all before 10:03 a.m. However, according to your commission, President Bush spoke to Secretary Rumsfeld for the first time that morning, shortly after 10 a.m. Based on White House notes and Harry Fleischer notes of the conversation, the commission's report states that it was a brief call in which the subject of shoot-down authority was not discussed. Shoot-down authority was not discussed. The commission then states that the Secretary of Defense did not join the National Military Command Center's conference call until just before 10:30 a.m. As you say, Mr. Co-Chairman, the situation is urgent when we don't get protected in those circumstances, and it's even worse when it's covered up. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dayton. The question was, we had four war games going on September 11th, and the question that I tried to pose before the secretary had to go to lunch was whether or not the activities of the four war games going on September 11th actually impaired our ability to respond to the attacks.
The answer to the question is no, it did not impair our response. In fact, General Eberhardt, who was then the commander of North American Aerospace Defense Command, as he testified in front of the 9/11 Commission, I believe he told them that it enhanced our ability to respond. So it was an easy transition from an exercise into a real-world situation. It actually enhanced the response. Otherwise, it would take somewhere between 30 minutes and a couple of hours. There were two CPXs. There was one Department of Justice exercise that didn't have anything to do with the other three, and there was an actual operation ongoing. To realize is North American Aerospace Defense Command was responsible.
Mr. Chairman, begging your indulgence, was September 11th declared a National Security Special Event Day?
I have to look back. I do not know. You mean after the fact or before the
No. Because of the activities going on that had been scheduled at the United Nations that day.
I'd have to go back and check. Well, no.
Thank you. How is it that on four separate occasions, on one day, that $1 trillion military and intelligence infrastructure could fail? How could that happen? The Congress should have demanded an answer. The Congress didn't demand an answer and didn't get one.
Members of Congress received talking points, and the talking points said that we were hit because we are free, that we are hated because we're free. And that was really the explanation that was given to us, and we were supposed to take that message back to our constituents and tell them that we were hit because we're free. That wasn't a sufficient explanation for me.
Now is the time for our elected officials to be held accountable. Now is the time for the media to be held accountable. Why aren't the hard questions being asked? We know there were numerous warnings of the events to come on September 11th. What did this administration know? And when did it know it? Who else knew? And why did they not warn the innocent people of New York who were needlessly murdered? We had President Bush place a phone call to Majority Leader Senator Tom Daschle asking him not to investigate the events of September 11th. Asking him not to investigate the events of September 11th. And then, hot on the heels of the President's phone call was another phone call from the Vice President asking that Tom Daschle also not investigate the event that led to September 11th. Not investigate the event that led to September 11th.
had a multi-trillion dollar military and intelligence infrastructure fail four times on one day. That's all. Just tell us how that happened. I think it was 1791. George Washington warned in his farewell address, he warned the American people to beware the false patriots who will wrap themselves in the flag but betray your values.
So it is true that the Vice President has requested on several occasions that we not have an investigation into this issue, that we not have an investigation into this issue.
How many times did the Vice President ask you not to investigate this, and have others at the White House also asked no investigation?
Oh, I'm not sure. There were numerous times. I can't recall exactly how many.
He asked you more than once.
Correct.
And it was no investigation whatsoever. He wasn't asking for it to keep it closed, keep it to intelligence. He wanted no investigation.
That's correct.
And Mr. President, also, I remember him following up with you at a breakfast and reiterating what the Vice President called you about.
That's correct.
The President himself asked you.
That's right.
The President himself asked you.
That's right. The White House had said publicly that they were not briefed, that they had no information prior to 9/11. I don't know that a direct question, what did you know and when did you know it, was ever asked of the President of the United States. So I have a very difficult time reconciling what we now know to be the fact with what was given to be our understanding based upon both private and public briefings.
Was the White House misleading the public by saying it had no prior information? And also, I just want you to clarify Cheney's statement, no investigation whatsoever, not merely a private investigation. I thought earlier that he wanted to make sure this was kept, you know, a private intelligence community investigation.
Well, the impression that the Vice President left with me is that he would prefer no investigation. He would prefer no investigation. And then when we pursued the matter, I told him that we had no choice but to move forward with the Intelligence Committee investigation. But they did ask that we not do it in the first place. I don't know that a direct question, what did you know and when did you know it, was ever asked of the President of the United States.
A-Day, the start of A-Day, the start of the campaign called Shock and Awe, the original anticipation over the next 24 to 48 hours, perhaps as many as 3,000 Tomahawk cruise missiles, satellite-guided precision bombs, laser-guided bombs would be dropped at various targets, not only in Baghdad, around Baghdad, but elsewhere around the huge country of Iraq. It's now approximately 8:18 in the evening in Baghdad, in this part of the world.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. Turns out he didn't. My answer to your question is that imagine a world in which Saddam Hussein was there, stirring up even more trouble in a part of the world that had so much resentment and so much hatred. You know, I've heard this theory about, you know, everything was just fine until we arrived, and, you know, kind of stir up the hornet's nest theory. It just doesn't hold water as far as I'm concerned. They were... What did Iraq have to do with what?
The attack upon the World Trade Center.
Nothing. And nobody's ever suggested in this administration that Saddam Hussein ordered the attack.
With respect to 9/11, of course, you've had the story that's been public out there, the Czechs alleged that Mohammed Atta, the lead attacker, met in Prague with a senior Iraqi intelligence official 5 months before the attack.
Nobody's ever suggested.
What about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11? How clear are investigators that some Israeli agents may have known something?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously, and there's a great deal of evidence that they say they have collected. A highly placed investigator said there are, quote, tie-ins But when asked for details, he flatly refused to describe them, saying, quote, "Evidence linking these Israelis to 911 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered."
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event. Our purpose was to document the event. To document the event. To document the event.
What makes America great is an atmosphere of limited government, the limitations guaranteed by the Constitution. When those guarantees fall by the wayside and the government, in the name of security, rejects its limitations and believes it can regulate any behavior, invade any right, write any law, as long as the goal is security, then there's no difference between the United States of America and some other empire that collapsed because it was too powerful for its own good.
I'd like to get back to first principles here. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition their government for redress of grievances.
You are a victim when the government invades your privacy, when the government invades your dignity, when the government violates your natural rights and doesn't tell you about it and doesn't give you a chance to challenge them. That's what authoritarian governments have done. And every authoritarian government, except the half dozen that are still around, has collapsed for doing that, including King George III.
This Patriot Act represents a wholesale abandonment of the right to assemble peaceably, of the right to freedom of association. This Patriot Act is a square violation of the Fourth Amendment, the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
When the government knows all about you, even the things that you want to keep private, the government can use that for its own nefarious purposes, and the government can use it for a witch hunt. And every witch hunt will find a witch. They won't stop until they find a witch.
What I maintain is that what we have here is a destructive undermining of constitutional principles. We can't just say, well, let's trust our friends to do the right thing. This is about the Constitution. This is beyond friendship. This is beyond party. This is beyond who's the president. What we have done with the Patriot Act, we've given the government enormous power. We've given the government to reach deeply into people's private lives, into their business affairs, without a court order.
Building 7, I often hear about. No plane hit Building 7. Why did Building 7 come down? What do you tell people?
What is Building 7?
Or what, was it Building 5, or the building that wasn't hit by the plane? Building 7.
I have no idea. I've never heard that.
Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge, a new era.
We have a real chance at this new world order.
So maybe you thought you understood 9/11 before, but hopefully, after now hearing this, you have questions that need to be answered. And to reconcile all of this with what they told you about that day. But more importantly, what they haven't told you. Because there are many more questions to be asked, that much is certain. But I can assure you without any possible doubt, the truth is out there. All you have to do is take a look. And don't be afraid, because you're not alone in your thinking. 9/11 was an inside job. But the best thing to recognize is that all hope is not lost. Because those with all the power, they have fear too. And you have to know what their fear is. The fear of losing their precious power. The fear of losing control. and their self-indulgent prestige. And the deepest fear of all, that the truth of their crimes should ever get out. And for that reason, they've erected and manufactured the ultimate PR machine, a multi-billion dollar media mouthpiece, to hide their crimes and to hide the truth from you. So know that they do have fear. They fear the truth. Otherwise, they wouldn't fight so hard to hide it from you. And know that talk is our greatest weapon, because that's what they fear when we get together and talk. That's why they divide us with political parties, racial tensions, and religion, and distract us with football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, the Grammys, Emmys, and Oscars too. Distractions of every kind, because they don't want us to get together and talk about the real problems in life. Our oppression by them, the ultra wealthy. So do what they don't want you to do. Spread the truth. Talk. And don't let them get away with 9/11. Because the statute of limitations for mass murder never runs out. So let everyone know who the real rat bastards are on the face of this earth. The real vermin. The real scum. The real failures of this planet. Those who tilted the game in their favor and stole all the money long, long ago. Banding together in a pact of psychopaths with no moral conscience. The creators of poverty, war, and suffering. Forcing others to die for their own greed and conquest. So talk. Loud and clear for all to hear. Let everyone know that we know who truly failed society and mankind. And let the blame and shame be theirs to bear forevermore. And let us never forget the names of those who turned against us, so that it may never happen to us ever again. And above all, don't ever lose faith, because that's when you've given up. Whether it be faith in God, or just faith in yourself to do the right thing. Always keep your faith, because a better day always follows the worst. You just have to get there to see it.